Of the four tapes that I have annotated for this presentation, this tape of Steve proves the most difficult. The major source of this difficulty lies in the fact that Steve makes so many of the errors that I discuss in the book that it is difficult to discuss this tape without seeming to be almost mean to Steve. That presented me with the option of either ignoring many of the errors and letting them pass by uncommented upon, or of my prior apology to you that I don't mean to be mean to Steve, but I do want to call to your attention all of the issues involved. I mentioned in the book that people will use the body as a defense against the therapy. In that connection, I mentioned things like opening and closing the mouth or moving the tongue with each and every breath. Before I even begin, I want to reemphasize that each of us operates, inherently so, in context of our own character. All of the devices that Steve uses to combat the effects of the therapy are not done in any sense of malice or in any sense even of planning and forethought. They are simply character logic. They are simply the way that his character attempts to deal with the disruption of the homeostatic sense of his own body. By what I've said here, I hope you understand that Steve is simply being Steve. He is doing the best he can with the work at the present time. As the therapy progresses, he will change and be more effective. But for the present, Steve has no alternative but then to be Steve. Many of the things that Steve does in this session, I have to leave uncommented. For if I pointed out each and every issue, I'd be stopping the tape after virtually every single breath, which would make the tape almost unlistenable to. So I'm going to comment only on the ones that are more egregious, or that are more consistent, or that provide a better lesson for the reader of this material. When Steve first started therapy with me, his primary device for defeating the therapy was to swallow. He would take 2, sometimes 3 breaths, and then swallow. That would go on for the whole session. After enough sessions of my calling that to his attention and telling him not to swallow, in this session, he only does it 1 time. In that context, we've made progress. To provide you with a summary preview of what you are about to hear, Steve uses 7 different devices, a total of 35 times that I comment upon, in the course of this session, which is only 60 minutes long. So I'm having to make a comment about once every 2 minutes, a little more frequently than that. The devices he uses are closing his mouth, which I comment upon 9 times, and let me assure you there are many, many times during the session when I observe something and make no comment at all. He swallows once. 6 times I have to remind him to say, ah, and we'll return to that in a moment. On 2 occasions, I remind him to keep his eyes open so he stays in contact. On 1 occasion, I remind him to breathe fully. His breathing, as we'll discuss subsequently, is extremely shallow and is very biphasic. That is, an inhale-exhale followed by a long pause followed by another inhale-exhale. He uses yawning as a defense, and in 1 60-minute session, he yawns 10 times. Finally, he breaks the session by talking. He does that 6 times. One more point of introduction, and then we can begin the tape. During the course of this tape, as you listen closely, you will hear Steve make a whole range of introductory ah-type sounds. Occasionally, he will say ah, but he will also say ha, H-A, huh, H-U-H, and ah, A-G-H. The latter is the familiar guttural. It's the first time in these four tapes that we've been able to hear what the guttural sounds like, but it will be quite distinctive, and besides, I'll point it out when it starts. Interestingly, there is one exhale during the whole tape where Steve makes an ah sound which is close to perfect. In discussing Carl's tape, I pointed out how he slows down his breathing quickly to half the normal rate, that is to 6 breaths per minute, thus ensuring that there'll never be any hyperventilation. With Steve, the breathing rate is so variable as to be not something that one can even particularly take note of. It varies from between 6 breaths per minute and slightly more than 12 breaths per minute. Also, I noted in Carl's tape that his ah sound was approximately 6 times as long as the proper ah sound should be. Again, with Steve, such comparison is foolhardy, for the variability of his ah sound is so great as to make any comparison meaningless. When the tape starts, you'll find that I am still responding to a question that Steve has posed prior to beginning his breathing. The answer is finished quickly and should just be ignored. With that as introduction, we can now start Steve's tape.
Ah.
Well, the answer to that is that a real plan, a real dream, has steps, inherent steps to reach it, which steps you start undertaking.
Yeah. Yeah, there's concrete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantasies are like fairy tales where you get to the end, right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Steve starts right off using an H-A-ha sound rather than an A-H-ah sound. I'll play it for you again. Big sound in the yawn. Bigger than that.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't connect to it.
Notice that even though I haven't commented upon it, after I do comment on the yawns, he does change from an H-A-ha to an A-H-A with the next breath. You might also note that Steve has a very prolonged inhale throat sound and quite a prolonged exhale throat sound. This becomes even more predominant later in the session as his throat closes as a result of the work. That's it. We got 2 breaths of A-H-A and then a return to the H-A-ha. I'll play just the beginning of those 3 sounds for you again, the last 3 breaths, last 3 exhales he's taken, so you hear the change. He went from ha to ah, did it ah twice, and then went back to ha.
Ah, ah, ah. Ah.
After several pronounced H-A exhale sounds, Steve suddenly switches back to an A-H sound. However, note the very predominant G in the middle. So it is not ah, A-H, it is ag, A-G-H. You hear the very pronounced in the next two breaths guttural sound.
Watch the swallowing, it's a defense.
I'd like you to notice in what follows that in response to my pointing out to Steve that it's ah and not ha, that he responds with A-G-H, adding a very distinct guttural to his sound. I don't respond during this session to Steve's addition of the guttural to his sound. Why not? With Roberta, when you have heard or do listen to her tape, you'll find that I spend most of the session in verbal therapy, which is part of the work. With Steve, I do not. For exactly the reason that is indicated in the book, I have confidence, full confidence, that in time the body work will take care of most of the problems. It adds little to continuously interrupt, as I might do, to enter into an interpretation and thus prevent the body work from proceeding apace.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
Note the pronounced guttural in the following sound. Before we start to listen to the roughly 6 minutes of this exercise for Steve, let me recall for you what the book discusses about the arms up, shake the shoulders loose exercise. It says, first, the breath is continuous throughout the exercise, that is, the exhale is continuous during its own period. It also says that the soft ah sound is inserted into the continuous exhale. It does not stop the breath, nor is it particularly emphasized. It also indicates that each motion is a thrust from the shoulder and not from the arm. Now, when you listen to Steve's performance, you're going to find a whole host of issues. One is that he stops the breath between each thrust, so that it's a distinct new breath exhale with each thrust. On other breaths, he'll drag out the sound so that the ah sound is continuous and simply becomes emphasized each time he does a thrust. You'll also hear various sounds. Not only is there an ah, but there is an huh, there is an ha, there is a uh, and there is an agh guttural ah. In some places he'll get very soft and the sound will almost disappear. In other places it'll become very emphatic, such that the agh guttural almost becomes a growl. And finally, there's one place where he does a yawn, but he does not stop the exercise for a yawn. So this is a good place to remind you that the book points out that a yawn takes precedence over any exercise, and an exercise is stopped for the duration of a yawn.
Ah. 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 Oh. Ah.
Mouth open.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
Arms up, shake shoulders loose.
Ah. 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 Ah, 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 ah.
Push.
You could have heard all along the inhale breath sound that Steve makes. However, it's particularly prominent on the next inhale, so I'm going to amplify it to call attention to it. The breath just after the next one is a good one for you to hear Steve's biphasic breathing. How there is a breath sound from the ah sound to the end of the exhale, then a significant pause, and then a breath sound on the inhale. So we'll hear one normal sound, Steve normal sound, and then I will emphasize the two parts of the exhale and inhale with the pause between. That wasn't that long a pause. It was only 2.7 seconds between the end of the exhale and the beginning of the inhale. To recall to you in the book, I mentioned the idea of rhythmic breathing and said that that was the last thing you're going to be able to get because it is so difficult. It is difficult, and it's not something that one tries to push for, nor is it some kind of ultimate standard that one should try to reach. It is, however, something that you can, by listening to Steve, become aware of in your own breathing, and hopefully, by paying attention to it, you can limit the biphasic nature of your own breathing.
Relax, John. Breathe chest only. Yes, you're right. You are using your belly still. You're not supposed to, but you are.
Notice the prominent guttural sound here.
What's that?
It's trying to hold my belly.
It's what?
Trying to hold my belly.
To hold it?
Yeah.
What do you want to hold it for?
So it doesn't breathe.
No. You don't accomplish that by holding it. You accomplish that by breathing with your chest.
I'm going to take one little author's liberty at this point and point out to any therapist who might be listening to this the terminology he uses when he says, so it does not breathe. To this point, Steve's pre-sound breath sound has been prominent throughout. Suddenly, it seems to have disappeared. I'm going to let you hear the next two sounds, and then I will point out how long the pause is between these two sounds with no breath sound.
Ah.
That was 6 seconds. You might recall earlier we had 2.7 seconds between the end of the exhale breath sound and the beginning of the inhale breath sound. Notice the prominent guttural in all of these sounds, in effect saying A-G-H rather than A-H.
Still using your belly.
When there have been so many other issues that I could have raised with Steve and did not, why is it that I'm making apparently quite an issue of the fact that he is still using his belly while the instruction was to breathe chest only? The reason is because this particular exercise, as is emphasized in the book, is designed to separate the belly and the chest. The same as when one is doing a belly-only breathing, the chest should not be used. To the extent that both are being used, it is not that the exercise is being done inadequately. It is that the exercise is actually accomplishing exactly the opposite purpose. Instead of separating the two, it's continuing to unite the two. That was a 10-second pause between breaths. Lick the chin. Note the prominent return of the inhale breath sound. On the following breath, that takes approximately 2.5 seconds.
Keep it up, keep it up.
A little bit of spontaneous pounding, which continues during the next exhale.
Stay in contact. Stay in contact. Lick the ceiling.
There is another lesson here in why at this point I changed the exercise from lick the chin to lick the ceiling. We can tell from Steve's various responses that the lick the chin exercise had a fairly profound effect. But we can also hear from his last two breaths that he is accommodated to the situation, and the effect of the exercise has now run its course. So it's time to change the exercise, still sticking with the tongue, to see what more we can get from this area. Why then did I stop the exercise at this point? Obviously, it was still having an effect. We can hear that in his sound. Well, the answer is the basic principle that I repeated a number of times in the book, the principle of always too slowly. His system had been disrupted by the lick the chin exercise and was being disrupted further by the lick the ceiling exercise. That's enough for one session. Let his system settle down and return to a normal state. As always, the principle is always too slowly. Better to miss an opportunity than to overstress the system and have it be traumatic rather than curative.
Oh.
While the breathing is still way too slow, still at about 6 breaths per minute, we can hear from his sound that he rapidly quiets down and becomes peaceful again. That's what one is after. Disrupt the system, let it adjust, and then return. There is now almost a tranquility to Steve's sound. It is much softer and shorter than when he started the session, and it is not as punctuated, though it is still articulated, compared to the sound when he started the session. It is as though the week itself constitutes a stressor for Steve. He comes in and starts the session in a stress state. I then submit exercises which further stress the system, and his sound now is almost saying, "Thank God that's over."
Ah.
still a lot of post-ah breath sound, but almost absent a pre-ah breath sound.
Ah.
Eyes open, close.
Why return at this point to the exercise of eyes open and close? As I hope I have emphasized enough times in the book, the forehead and the eyes help to establish reality contact. In this instance, the session has disrupted Steve's system. So I want to end the session or quiet the session down toward the end by helping him to reestablish reality contact so he functions properly during the coming week.
Ah.
Full breath, sir. Full breath. Ah.
Ah. Ah. I do try to buy people with nice.
Yep.
I don't know what else to offer. It's a bummer. I feel that I have to offer something.
There are several points to be made at this point in Steve's session. When you listen to the tape from Roberta, you'll find that she uses going off in her mind as a way to flee from the session. Steve has not done that. While in the session, while staying in the session, Nonetheless, he has been thinking about himself and trying to understand the way he operates in the world. That is very characteristic of the way Reichian therapy works, in the sense that even though I have not brought up a subject, I have not provided any interpretations, he recognizes in thinking about himself, as the session has loosened the inhibition to understanding himself, that this is in fact the way he operates in the world. It's an important understanding that he has gained of his own way of operating.
Keep in mind the axiom of the salesman, which is if you can't sell them, insult them.
That's true.
Basic principle of selling.
That has worked for me. When I feel like I have nothing to lose or I'm just feeling my oats. And suddenly somebody's loving it. I have certain friends who love to see me get angry. Mm-hmm. Even if it's at them, I think it's very funny or they don't know what.
There are some who don't feel like the dynamic is right unless I'm somehow
kind of mean or something.
All right, Eyes and directions. Mouth open.
Ah.
Mouth open.
Ah. Ah.
open. Except for the post-ah sound breath sound, the following ah sound is close to perfect. Just your mouth open.
Ah. Ah.
Again, the next sound, except for the post-ah breath sound, is beautiful.
Ah. Ah.
Okay, normal breathing. Leave the eyes.
Ah. Ah.
Use your chest in your breathing, belly, chest.
Ah. Ah.
In the ah sounds that follow, hopefully you can hear the sadness or sorrow or self-pity, it's hard to say what it is, that is manifest in the sound.
Ah.
Okay, sir, drop your legs.
In the post-session report that follows, you might note the lack of contact that Steve has with his body. It is almost as though the body belongs to someone else and he is simply inspecting it. In order to get full information, I have to constantly prompt him and ask him about another area of his body and whether there is anything that he experiences from that area.
My throat feels pretty tight.
Your throat feels pretty tight.
Yeah. Could be, my stomach's really hungry after last night.
Again, a short note for any therapist who might be listening to this tape. Note the form of the statement he just made. My stomach is feeling hungry after last night. Not I am feeling hungry, but my stomach is.
That's... acid, it feels like. Wee bit of a headache, but I think that's just because I was squinting so much.
Where in your head is the headache? Front, side, back?
Front, I think.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, front over.
Anything in your chest? Anything from your abdomen?
Yeah, from my abdomen, definitely up to my, so the plexus and a little into my breastbone. Kind of just aware of it being, you know, depressed, I guess, into my chest.
I'm not clear on that.
Well, just feeling kind of tight, I guess, you know, a little bit. Maybe not. No, you know what it is? I just feel it when it moves.
You're aware of your abdomen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my throat that's really tight.
All right.
When I put my legs down, I was really aware of my hips. They were just feeling like I'd been tensing them a lot, or something. Just the front of my hips. Well, I feel a little pulse in my left calf that sometimes makes me want to move or tense my foot and other parts of my body. That's one of the little way stations. But it's just kind of ending there right now. I guess it's other parts of me are exhausted or it's just gone through the right way, you know? Whatever that pulse is, but sometimes it gets stopped there and then I jerk or something.
Mm. Anything from that base of the right scapula?
I'm inquiring here whether he has any sensation from the base of the right scapula. The reason why I'm specific to that exact point or location is that in previous sessions he has identified his right scapula as being the point of major holding. This, of course, is not what you're going to find in Reich or Lowen or Boadella or the others, but it is not unusual. Though it didn't come up in Carl's tape as such, Carl has identified a small area about the third lumbar vertebrae in the back, which is his major point of holding.
Aware of it. It feels a little light. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of hunching up my right shoulder towards my right ear. I guess, yeah, I suppose I'm just breathing through it more. That's probably why my leg isn't twitching as much or tensing as much.
Okay, sir. Stretching up.
Alrighty.